When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, this is the 17th episode of the DesignFootball.com podcast. My name is Jay, I'm the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. Recently I spoke to Simon Shaky Shakeshaft about match-worn kits, match-worn shirts particularly. Today I'm going to speak to a fellow shirt collector, that's from Shaky's point of view, a fellow shirt collector, Rich Johnson. People may be aware of Rich from the Football Attic website, a football nostalgia website. Hi, Rich, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm okay, not too bad. So you are a kit collector. This is a little bit strange for me because I always thought about you as a bloke that owns some shirts. When did you transition from being that? Or have you always been a shirt collector, would you say?
Not massively. I think I liked football kits as a kid. And I had my first one when I was about 12, which was a Cov shirt. But I didn't really get into what I would call properly collecting them until about 2006. I bought a few Argentina ones off eBay in the early 2000s when eBay became a thing. And I was desperate to get hold of an Argentina 86 one, and at the time you could get quite a few sort of, you know, modern replicas off eBay, so I'd bought quite a few of those, but I still probably had about like 10 or 15 shirts or something. And then the 2006 World Cup, when Italy won in that gorgeous shirt they had, I had to own one of those, and that was the first shirt that I kind of bought when I kind of thought, actually, you know what, this is worth spending money on. And then it kind of spiraled from there. But the main point where I crossed over from collector to obsessive was after I'd done the first Football Attic kit book, because I'd done that. I had 270 odd shirts in my collection by that point. So I was already kind of, you know, obsessed. But then in the following year, bearing in mind that had taken me about 30 years to build up that collection, and then the following 18 months, I added about another 130 to the collection. So I kind of went a bit mental.
Okay. So you mentioned a Coventry shirt when you were a kid. That was the first shirt. Which one was that?
That was the 86-87 one, the blue and white stripes one we won the FA Cup in.
Yeah, and then the following season. See, that's a good starting point, isn't it? If you have that as your first shirt, you win the FA Cup in it, and then the following season you had a version of the Hummel Denmark shirt. Is that what Coventry had?
It is. One of the best
shirts.
Did you
have one of those? Did you get one?
Did I get one?
Yeah.
I did, yeah, and I made sure. See, even then, I was quite nerdy about details, because even then, you could buy ones without the sponsor on it, and you could buy with the sponsor, and I made sure that mine had the sponsor on it.
Okay. That's an interesting brand of nerdiness, because some people would go the other way, of course. That's a subjective thing, isn't it?
But the reason for that is because I wanted it to be as close to the real thing as possible. So I hated it when you bought replica shirts, and they didn't look the same. And that usually was down to not having the sponsor on it. Especially on kids' shirts, you often found that they just didn't bother, and it used to really annoy me. So I think kind of 86 was around about the first time you could really buy shirts with the sponsor on. For instance, the one I bought from the year before, the 86-87 one, did not have a sponsor on it. It did not have Granada Social Clubs on it, whereas the following year it was the first one Cole that actually had with a sponsor on.
Granada Social Clubs. I always think of that shirt as having Granada Bingo on it. Is that right?
Yeah, the 87-89 one did have Granada Bingo on it, but the 86-87 had Granada Social Clubs. But I think we had Granada Bingo in the final of the FA Cup.
In the FA Cup final?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that might be what I'm thinking of. Okay, so In terms of the amounts, you say 270 shirts in what year was that, when you made the first kit book?
Yes.
And so what year was that?
That was 2013, I think.
Okay.
April, May 2013 when the book came out.
Okay, because because I remember coming on your podcast, on the Football Attic podcast, with John Devlin in 2013, and it was like me and John, and particularly in your eyes, John, I think, were the experts who had come on the podcast and was going to tell you about shirts. But now, you're especially with 270 shirts around that time, you know your stuff as well.
I do, yeah.
What I'm thinking of is 270 shirts by then, what would it have been, say, 10 years earlier? How many shirts would you have owned? Is this something that happened organically, or was it something that happened over the 10 years before or the 5 years before then?
Well, no, because, I mean, like I say, I mean, that very much, I think 10 years before that, so that was 2013, so 10 years before that would have been when I bought my first shirt off eBay, which prior to that, I literally only had a couple of England shirts and probably about 5 or 6 COV shirts, so I had virtually nothing. So 10 years prior to that, I would have had a collection in double figures, and that's about it, if that. So it literally, eBay accounted for a lot of my shirt collection, because you could just buy so much. And in the early days of eBay, you could pick up some real bargains as well, whereas people are a bit more savvy. I mean, I think it was about 2003 that I bought, it might have been 2002 that I bought my first eBay shirt, or 2003, I can't remember. But not long after that, about a couple of months after buying my first one, I managed to get a Denmark 86 shirt, and that was about 34 quid. And there was no way that ever goes for 34 quid now.
No. No, that's incredible. Yeah, that's quite impressive. And do you still have that now, or is that one that's been traded? And then
No, I've still got it.
You've still got that one? Oh, that's quite good. Okay, so back then, was there any... Because I wonder what the cause of what the effect is there, because is it a case of, oh, what's this thing? eBay's come along. Oh, let's have a look at it. And, oh, there's lots of things to buy on here. Oh, football shirts, they look quite nice. Was that... Did that provoke the interest or the starting of collected shirts?
No, it was entirely down to wanting an Argentina 86 shirt. And eBay was like a new playground. I think the first ever article I wrote on the Football Attic was about my quest for the Sabutio World Cup trophy. And eBay was the first place that actually I was managed to actually buy one of those things. Because, of course... Prior to eBay and the internet, if you hadn't bought something when it was around, the likelihood of ever getting one was virtually nil, because it's like you just didn't have the outlets to find it. You'd have to physically go to places like car boot sales and hope that someone had got one. But whereas eBay, you can just sit there with your computer and just type in the words Sabutio FIFA World Cup, and then you can gawk at the prices, but then you can still buy one. And that's the thing. So at that point, I then started to try and find an Argentina 86 shirt. And it was not long after that that I actually found the modern-day replica versions. So it just sort of started from there. And I think I then started looking for other Argentina shirts. And then I then started looking at COV shirts. And then it just kind of... And then I found the Denmark one. And there was like quite a few shirts from your childhood that you think, oh, I'd quite like one of those now. And now I could probably get one. And then it just kind of spiraled, really.
When you say the Argentina 86 shirt, that's the original reason for getting into it. Have you ever owned one that you're satisfied with? Have you ever sort of fulfilled that quest?
No, I have not. I have it twice. I've had an opportunity to do it. Once, and I will forever regret this, there was one on eBay, and a genuine 1986 player-worn shirt, and it had actually been worn in one of the matches as well, rather than just like on the subs bench or something. And I spotted it at about 1 o'clock in the morning on eBay, and it had gone on for £2,500. And I was trying to verify whose it was and sort of... to see if it was genuine, and I agonized over it for about an hour or so. So I got to bed ridiculously late that night. It was a midweek, so I had to go to work. And in the end, I managed to work out whose it was, because it was actually this person who uploaded the picture of it on oldfootballshirts.com. Their email was on there. So I emailed them and said, is this yours? Just checking, you know, because obviously it could have been just someone nicking the pictures and selling it, or pretending to. And I was considering of putting an offer in of just under $2,000 or something. And not that I had the money particularly, but I had a credit card. So, you know, I had the means to do it. And I kind of hadn't, I can't remember if I'd actually mentioned it to my wife at this point. I think I'd sort of hinted at it. And I can't remember how the discussion went. But by the morning, the guy had actually replied to me and said, yeah, it is my shirt. I am selling it. He said, but I've taken it off eBay and relisted it. And he basically relisted it at £5,000. So by this point, it was way out of my league. And he said, and I've already had loads of offers. And then by the time I got to work, it had gone. It had been sold. And the funny thing was, is that the guy who bought it is a guy who has a racing club museum in Argentina, and he owns an absolute shed load of Argentina match-worn shirts. And he's got, like, I think he's actually got two 86 ones, and he's got one of the 86 ones from the quarterfinal where they wore that particular one-off shirt against England. And he said, oh, yeah, I got that one. So I was just like, oh, great, okay. And then about a year ago, Malky off Twitter, he actually knew someone who had, he knew an American collector who'd bought one and was willing to sell it, but he wanted about $3,500 for it. And the problem was that the collar on it was dyed blue, where I think the colour had run in the wash or something. And I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that.
It's not the version I want.
No, I just knew that if I ever bought one, it's like the one I do own of the 1990 World Cup, because I do have a match-worn shirt from there, that has got ink stains all over it, but I'm happy with that because I paid quite a low price for it. And it's like, I will take that because I know I didn't pay a ridiculous price. Whereas if I'm going to pay, you know, if ever I had the means to pay £3,500 for an Argentina shirt, then I would want it to be, you know, as spotless and immaculate as possible.
Do you think that the love of football shirts, the love of collected football shirts, is down to the fact that you have never got the first shirt that you really wanted?
I don't know, because I also, at the same time as that, it was also, obviously the 86 World Cup had the Denmark shirt in it, so there was something about it. And then 2 years later, the Holland 88 shirt, and my mate had one of those, and I'd already fallen in love with the football shirt and the details of it. And I think, and I used to design kits when I was a teenager myself, so I think I was already massively into football shirts. I tend to get a bit obsessive about things, and I think it'd already become one of my obsessions. So I don't think the ending up collecting, I think a lot of the collecting was fueled by by narcissism. Because I think when you have an outlet for displaying your shirts, i.e. like Twitter and the Football Attic blog, and you kind of connect with other people who like it, and then basically when you buy one, you can display it and people can see it and you can get some feedback from it, and it becomes a bit of a, it almost becomes a bit like a drug, really. And you just kind of can't stop yourself at times. And then I discovered limited edition shirts, and that's like my downfall. That's like crack to me.
But we laugh, but maybe we shouldn't laugh. But what I was thinking about eBay is, I know on like gambling websites will have warnings that pop up regarding responsible gambling and that kind of thing. Is there anything like that on eBay? Because that sort of compulsive purchasing of certain things, especially if it is something like shirts, anything that involves collecting, that can involve racking up serious debt, can't it?
Yes, it can and does. No, eBay does not. eBay basically has a thing which says, come and spend all your money here, please go bankrupt. In fact, you know what, eBay really should have adverts for payday loan companies on there, just to complete the circle.
I don't think that would help matters at all.
Probably not, no.
It is a worrying thing. The thing with what you've mentioned there, you're mentioning all kinds of different things. So you mentioned, and I'll explain what I mean. You mentioned a friend owning a Netherlands 88 shirt, which is the isometric type pattern, quite a famous pattern. The thing with that is, that would be a replica shirt, which is very different to the shirt. I think it's got a collar on it, for example. Generally speaking, it has. There's several versions of it, but it's very hard to get hold of the an accurate version of what the players wore in those matches. Do you have any sort of preference with that? So let's say the two shirts are very similar. Are you okay with owning the replica version of a particular shirt?
If the price is prohibitive, then yes. I'm never 100% happy. I always want to own the exact replica down to the detail. Like, for instance, I noticed the other day there was a... I mean, again, this is how anal it can get. I noticed on classic football shirts there is a COV 87 to 89 shirt, which has is a player-worn shirt, and I have a player-worn shirt of that as well. But I noticed that theirs has the Hummel logo stitched and mine does not. And then you immediately think, oh, hang on a minute then. Is mine not real then? But I know mine is because it's got the number on the back, which... And it's not applied number, it's actually a sublimated number. And only the actual player shirts had numbers on. And it does have a stitch badge as well, which obviously the replicas didn't at the time as well.
Yeah. Well, there are different...
I do get obsessed about details like that.
There are different versions of shirts that players afford. So Liverpool, most of the time, in the last time they were the league, I think, most of the time they'd be wearing the replica version on the pitch. But there were player issue versions which had embroidered badges as well. But they, for whatever reason, there wasn't enough stock. So I presume so they did end up wearing the other versions quite a lot as well. But you're not so much. I mean, I look at your kit books and I see what sort of shirts you collect. Design is very, very important to you, isn't it? It's not so much the event, or would you say it's a mix of the two?
It depends. It is a bit of a mix of the two. Basically, I will sometimes buy a shirt purely because I love the design. I don't care who it is or what it is. I will just sometimes love the design. Like, I think I bought, I'm trying to think, some Russian team, which I suddenly can't remember, Lokomotiv Moscow, I think it is, which is like kind of got a, almost like a Pringle jumper pattern on the front in a sort of luminous red and green. Mm. Now, that was fairly cheap off classic football shirts, but I bought that purely because I loved the design of it. Whereas other things I've bought because they are limited edition versions of things, and I have to actually like the shirt sometimes. I mean, like, for instance, I mean, there was one that I was going to buy recently, which was, I think it's Genk. Is it? It's either Genk or Ghent. I can't remember. I think it was one of the two. And they bought out a bit like the cultural Leonessa tuxedo shirt.
Yeah.
But it was like a, it's almost like a waistcoat on it as well, like a suit. And it looked quite cool. And I nearly bought one, but there was a bit of a delay from Subside. And then, but in that time, I thought, actually, I'm not that bothered because they never actually wore it in a match. And it wasn't really a proper shirt. They kind of brought it out for the parade, their victory parade. And to me, it's like, well, that's not really a football shirt then. If they didn't ever wear it to play football in, or if it wasn't ever issued as a football shirt, because obviously you get some third shirts that never get worn, like, say, England at the 86 World Cup. But if it was never actually intended as a football shirt, as an official release football shirt, if you see what I mean, then it kind of, I don't know, there's something about it, and I just think, I'm not really bothered about it then.
Yeah, well, you might as well... you might as well collect like pre-match tops and things.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Some of the designs of them are pretty good, but yeah. It'd be a strange thing to collect. But you do go for a lot of these. I think a lot of collectors might look at them and be a bit snobbish about them. So the thing with the muscles, whatever team that is that one that you've got your eye on, or have you managed to buy it?
I've already bought one. In fact, had the post office not screwed up the delivery address on it, I would have it today. Because I ordered it last week, but apparently, according to the Royal Mail, it's been sent to the North Coventry postal office and not the South Coventry, which is my delivery office. So it's still sitting there, being misscanned three times. But yes, I have that CD Plenty. I've actually bought the shorts for that one as well.
Yeah, I did see they had shorts to go with it.
I don't often buy shorts, but I did buy them for the 1860 Munich Oktoberfest shirt last year because the shorts were Ledo's and stuff.
Yeah, didn't they release one of the teams who do that kind of Oktoberfest type stuff? They released socks as well that had a weird sort of woven pattern as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Well, 1860 have done quite a few Oktoberfest shirts. They've done for about the last 4 years. And they usually release them with some kind of weird socks as well. But I can't remember if you could actually buy the socks. I think you might have been able to. I don't think it was this year, but I think last year they did it. And it was like a kind of very knitted pattern, like a very intricate knitted pattern. But they're very expensive. And I'm not that fussed about socks.
No. So do you own any socks? I mean, I understand you probably wear socks at work.
Yeah, and that I'm not kind Jesus.
Now you tell me.
Well, you know, you can stop worshipping me now. I'm not really. I own a couple of pairs of socks. I think I own a pair of Cov socks from the 86-87 season because I bought them at the time. I did actually have the full kit for that, but the shorts had to go back because I was kind of in between sizes because it was like I was at the end of the youth sizes, which were too small, and then the adults, the first small adult size were massive, so I ended up taking those back. But I do still have the socks, and I've got a pair of Argentina socks from the last World Cup away kit that they had. But I think I just bought that because I liked the whole kit because it was really nice. And I had like a voucher for kit bag or something, so I just bought the socks as well. But they're really tight. They're ridiculously tight. I actually put them on once, and I think they're almost like compression socks.
But they probably... I think that's probably part of it now, isn't it? That they're meant to be super tight. And also probably designed for people who play football. So...
Yeah, but I actually have very good legs, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah.
Good to
you
know.
You sound surprised.
No. So moving up the body then, shorts, is that generally speaking, yeah, that's the area I want to move to now.
You always do.
Yeah, the shorts, so shorts not generally something that you go for?
No, not really.
Okay.
I have a couple of pairs. Again, I'm wearing a pair of Argentina ones right now. I've got a couple of pair of Argentina shorts, and I've got a pair of St. Etienne ones, just purely because they're nice and green.
Okay.
And that's about it, I think.
What's year are we talking about? Are we talking Adidas shorts?
Well, the St. Etienne ones?
Yeah.
Yes, they're only a couple of years old. About 2013, I think.
Okay. All right, just a nice pair of shorts. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, what the first shirt in your collection, let's say, was the Coventry shirt. You moved into, say, your 20s and so on. You mentioned 2003. What was that shirt that you bought off eBay?
It was an Argentina one, which was... Now, I bought it because, again, because I'm quite anal about details. Now, the 1990 World Cup shirt that Argentina had two blue lines on the collar. Mm. And all the replicas at the time did not.
No.
They just had a plain white V-neck. Now, this is the thing, you see. You couldn't buy... I couldn't actually find anywhere to buy an Argentina shirt in 1990, even though I really wanted one. But it subsequently turns out, I could have actually bought one through mail order at the time, I think, because I think Sports Scene had them, but I think they were quite expensive, and I don't actually remember seeing any adverts for them in Shoot or anything, although they must have had them. Actually, no, I think I stopped buying Shoot by 1990, that's why. What with being 15, so. So at the time, the replicas were kind of obviously not the same as the actual shirts that the players were wearing for that World Cup. And I managed to find on eBay this shirt, which was basically, like I say, had the two lines on the collar. And I was like, over the moon. So I was like, well, that's clearly some form of proper replica. And I think it was from Argentina. I was like, well, so I bought that. And I paid about 57 quid for it. Hmm. And then it was only years later that I realized the badge on it actually had the blue background. That say the 86 badge did, and the 1990 World Cup shirts did not have that blue background. So I then realised that it wasn't from the 1990 World Cup. I mean, I also then subsequently found the 1990 World Cup shirts also had the Airtex material. So then it was like kind of, well, what the hell is this shirt? And in the first Football Attic kit book, I actually wrote that I was very chuffed about getting it, and then it turns out it was probably never actually worn by the team. However, actually, I then subsequently discovered on that guy who owns the Museo Racing Club website, I then subsequently discovered that they had worn that shirt, and it was actually worn in a friendly later on in 1990 in about two different matches. So it actually was a shirt. But I featured it again in the second book with a correction.
Ah, okay. The other shirt that you should... And I don't know if you were aware of this one, but this is a great one. Argentina played against Lidfield. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I do. Well, that shirt was on Shirts of Excellence for a while. The blue one that's basically the Netherlands 88 design. Yeah, that was on Shirts of Excellence for about 450 quid, I think, for a time. And again, I briefly considered buying it, but then someone else bought it. And I think it might have been the bloke in Argentina again, because he's got one.
That's a great shirt. Do you know what that game is also pretty famous for?
For Hugo Maradona.
For what?
Hugo Maradona.
He played?
Yeah, Hugo Maradona.
What, his brother?
I'm sure he said. No, it was...
I did not. Is that right? He played his brother or his cousin played in that match?
I'm sure he did.
Okay, I think you've dreamt that.
I have not. Because it was his shirt, I think.
The great thing about that match as well is it actually featured the proto base layer. Argentina was so cold in that match and they only had the short sleeve version of that shirt, so they wore like a blue sweatshirt underneath it. So
I just put you up on something, because you actually said the other famous thing about that match. Now, that was not famous, was it?
Well, we can make it so now. It is famous now.
Okay.
That is a good shirt and a rare shirt. I actually saw, I think Classic Football Shirts had the number 10 shirt on sale, and Diego Maradona actually didn't play in that game. And so there was no number 10 shirt worn. So Classic Football Shirts, I would argue, actually had the had Diego Maradona's shirt for that game in their possession. And
well, the funny thing is that Musea Racing Club, the version of that shirt he has got is the number 10.
Oh, it is the number 10. That's not Hugo Maradona's shirt.
No, it's not. It's just, I think, Diego Maradona. But I'm sure there is a game that Hugo Maradona played in. I thought it was that one. I don't even know who the hell Hugo Maradona is.
I don't think he's a real
I'm
going
to have to find out. No, he definitely is. I'm going to look him up now. Hugo Maradona. There we go.
Hugo Maradona.
There he is. There's Hugo Maradona. There you go. He's the brother of legendary Diego Maradona. There you go. See?
And he played for Argentina.
No, he apparently didn't. So there you go.
Well, it wouldn't be classed as a full international, would it?
No, obviously.
So it wouldn't be classed as an appearance for Argentina. Okay. I mentioned to you earlier snobbery in football shirts. Is there any sort of shirt... I've got two questions on this subject. Is there any shirt you would not buy... I've got three questions on this subject.
This is like Spanish Inquisition.
Is there a... You haven't got plans. You haven't got dinner plans, have you?
At some point, yeah.
Is there any club shirt that you would not buy, even if you love the design?
No. No, there is not any club shirt that I wouldn't buy.
So do you have... I don't know who the rivals of Coventry are. Aston Villa, I suppose. Do you have any Villa shirts?
I do have a Villa shirt, because I've got the 87-89 shirt that they have, which was the Denmark one as well.
Ah, now this is what you need to explain, because you get this shirt in as many different colourways, let's call it, as you can, don't you?
I do. I try to, yeah.
So what teams? So list the teams that have had that design.
Oh my God.
And tell me if you've got the shirt or not.
This has now turned into about 10 questions, hasn't it? So, obviously Denmark, which I've got the home and away version of it. Villa had it. I've got the home version, haven't got the away. Southampton had it, haven't got that one. They only had it in the home version. Cov had it in the home version, which I have. I'm trying to think who else had it. Hellas Verona had it, and that is a gorgeous shirt, which I do not have. That is beautiful.
What is that?
Blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow.
That looks amazing. Okay. Lots of non-league sides had it, or sort of lower league clubs in either Germany or Denmark.
It was a team wear shirt as well.
Yeah, it was very much a team wear shirt. And this is the thing, so it was the Netherlands 88 shirt. Apart from being worn by USSR and Holland, that was also a massive team wear shirt, because so many German lower league sides had it.
Ah, and it's one of the greatest shirts ever.
It is.
Regarding the Denmark shirt, which is that's the pinnacle of that shirt, the original Denmark version, do you know that there is a version with the blue Carlsberg sponsor on it?
The actual Denmark one?
Yeah.
I have seen them. I have seen them floating around at times.
But you've never owned one?
No, because I don't feel the need to. Because that annoys me, because they wouldn't have actually worn that in a match.
Ah, of course. Okay. That's a form of snobbery, isn't it? That is more attractive
to me. It's not snobbery, it's just accuracy. It's just my personal obsession. I want things to be as close to the actual real thing, if you like, as possible. Because, for instance, you can get the Germany 1990 shirt sometimes with an Opel sponsor on it, which probably was more like a training shirt, yeah, or maybe ones they wore for promotional stuff, but they never actually obviously wore it in a proper match.
Ah, okay. Hmm. I personally, that would be my favourite version, because Carlsberg is such a great sponsor as well, and it's tied to... It obviously was a Liverpool sponsor for a long time, so I've got a soft spot for it for that reason. But it was Wimbledon sponsor when they won the FA Cup around that time as well. So that version would be great. The other thing you need to get is the half and half shorts. Have you tried to get those? I know you're not massively into shorts, but
no,
would you be interested in those?
I mean, well, they would be incredibly hard to get hold of because they were probably never actually released as a replica. And of course, they were never actually worn in the World Cup either. So they were only actually worn in team shots because I'm assuming Denmark probably played in that kit other than at the World Cup, but I don't know when they did, and the half and half shorts were not allowed at the World Cup.
No, and I've looked through a lot of pictures of Denmark around that time, and I can't find them wearing those shorts.
No, the only time I've ever seen them is on a Sabutio version of it and also on one particular team shot, I think.
And yeah, well, the one where they've got the where they're wearing the Carlsberg sponsors, they're wearing the half and half shorts on that.
See, I don't. I'd like to know more about the actual history of things like the Carlsberg sponsors. Like, what you know, why do they have that there? I mean, well, I suppose it's like the Ireland ones.
Yeah.
Except, of course, the Ireland ones you can only buy replicas with IRCOM or whatever it is on them.
Yeah, it's three now.
But it's three, isn't it? That awful logo. Oh no, wait, that's not crest.
Oh, okay. So my next question then is, the question was, is there a team that you would draw a line and say, okay, even though I love that shirt, I'm not going to buy it because I despise the team, and what they stand for is everything I'm against. But you don't have principles in that way. Is that fair to say?
I like the way you brought it down to principles. No, I don't. Even if it was a Hitler 11, I would still buy the shirt.
That is good.
No, that's Hitler not quite shirt. True. Actually, I don't know, because they're quite rare, you know.
I haven't got
the only existing ones were in some bunker somewhere. No, I mean, actually, to be fair, if there was a Ku Klux Klan football team, then no, I wouldn't actually buy that. So, you know, if they had... you know, kind of very extreme political affiliations. I wouldn't buy an ISIS football shirt, for instance.
Thanks for listing all the offensive groups that you wouldn't buy a football shirt.
I think there's probably more. I think I only listed two.
Okay. I mean, the Hitler Youth must have played some football matches. I'm sure the Hitler Youth...
The funny thing was, for a while, you know, obviously the Escape to Victory game.
Mm.
You could buy, I think it was Tofts that made it, you could buy the Nazi shirt that they wore, but now they don't stock it, and you literally can hard to find anywhere, because I think for some reason people don't like the idea of it.
Well, yeah, it's become politically incorrect, hasn't it, really, to wear, like, Nazi... Prince Harry killed it, really. By wearing a Nazi uniform to a party, he killed it.
Up until that point, there was still a degree of acceptability to the Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
But as soon as Prince Harry adopted it as his chosen costume, that was it. All credibility gone.
Yeah, that's the way these things work. Okay, so my next question then is there any brands, maybe through experience, where you've bought it and you found the quality is very bad, or an association in some way that is negative, that you wouldn't buy a shirt of?
Again, I don't think there is a single shirt that I wouldn't buy. I think there are certain things I might think twice of, but I've never really found any of them to be that bad quality-wise. There are obviously some which are nicer than others. For instance, like I think Macron, when they first kind of were getting more known amongst clubs, I think they're generally the quality was regarded as a bit cack. But, I mean, I never really liked Pony, but, I mean, the quality was okay. But I tell you what, it's more an era thing, because I think in the sort of late 90s, the general material that shirts are made out of seem to be quite rough. I mean, I'm thinking specifically things like some of the late Rangers ones in the late 90s. And I'm trying to think of some other ones. But just sort of that era, the material seemed to move away from the sort of silky material from the 80s and early 90s and seemed to move away to this sort of rougher material. Like, I think the France 98 shirt that France wore, I think that's sort of fairly like a heavy material as well. I think football shirts, when they went really baggy, they seemed to go quite heavy. And I don't really like the material they were made out of. A lot of the sort of late 90s Cov shirts are quite ropey in terms of quality. Mind you, I think a lot of the ones that Coventry made themselves are a bit ropey in quality. They seem a bit cheap.
Okay. And do you... I mean, that... You might not like it, but I suppose if the design is good enough, you'll still get a shirt of that quality.
Yeah, yeah. I think mainly because I don't wear them, I just collect them. So quality is not really an issue. So long as I'm not paying a ridiculous price and it falls apart, you know, it's like it generally will just get stuck on a hanger and or kept in its packet. So quality is not really much of an issue for me, really, I guess.
So you mentioned 270 shirts you had in 2013. What number are you up to now?
About 400.
400 football shirts. So yeah. How are you storing them?
They're just in boxes and bags around the house, which is all securely locked.
And where is this house?
It's in Iceland.
Okay. Now,
well, the funny thing was, recently I was on the radio, BBC Coventry in Warwickshire, and the guy had asked me to bring in about 30 Cov shirts and like some of my other favourite ones. And so I'm walking through town. I had my Argentina shirt there as well, my match-worn 1990 World Cup one. And I'm walking through town with just a canvas bag full of probably about $3,000 worth of shirts. And I just thought, this is not great. And he actually said to me, like, it's asking me the same question, like, where are they all stored? And it's just like, oh, just dotted around the house. And I'm thinking, like, you know, kind of, don't describe what I look like, please, and what I'm wearing. Because as I'm walking back through town, someone can have these.
Fortunately, nobody really listens to this, so we don't have the same problem.
Well, to be fair, not many people listen to BBC Coventry in Warwickshire either, especially on a Saturday afternoon.
That might also be true. You were actually called Phil on that, weren't you? I mean, you took a pseudonym.
Yeah, and he kept calling it me several times.
Okay. Has that stuck? Is that now a nickname?
No. It's not a very good nickname, to be honest, is it?
Okay, so 270 shirts in 2013. 3 years later, you've got 400 shirts, 270. There's 130 extra shirts, but there's also an upward curve there as well. So where do you think you're going to be in 10 years' time?
Drowned under a sea of shirts. Well, the thing is, after I brought the second kit book out, I stopped completely. And since then, I've only actually, in the last 10 months, I've bought about 3 shirts.
Oh,
so
okay.
I reached a point where I think it was taking over my life, and then I kind of reasserted myself. And whereas now I think I've decided, I think I've kind of come to peace with my obsession, and I'm at a happy place now where I don't feel the need to buy every single good design shirt that I see, because otherwise I'd have bought most of the Euro 2016 shirts, because there's a lot of good ones there. But I kind of have come to that point now where I think I will probably stick to buying limited editions or weird ones like the muscle shirts and things like that. Or if I can get any more sort of Argentina ones that I haven't got, or potentially match worn shirts. There is one that I want at the moment, but it's about £600 and I just do not have the money. And I'm gutted about it.
So the 86 shirt, that remains the holy grail for you, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, are there others that... I'm thinking maybe shirts that you don't know that are available, but if they became available, you would take out a loan, remortgage and that kind of thing for. Is there any others? Your wife's not actually listed, don't worry.
She's well aware of my ridiculous nature. No, I don't think there is, really. There's literally the 86 World Cup shirt. I mean, I suppose... The funny thing is, it's like... You could say that, like, getting a 1987 FA Cup final match-worn shirt would be a holy grail, but I don't know why. I'm just not that bothered. I think the only other one I'd like is a 1990 World Cup final Argentina shirt. I think that's the only other one I'd like. And again, I had the opportunity to buy one of those. I think it actually even was from the final as well. It was a match prepared one. It was never worn in the final, but it was a genuine player issue one. And it was for the World Cup final. And it was on classic football shirts for £1,250, which at the time I'd never even paid more than about £100 for a shirt. So to me, it was just out. And then, I think about a week later, I inquired if it was still available, and it had been sold to a collector in Brazil. Now, if I saw a shirt like that now, I think I would just say, screw this, and just buy it on a credit card and just deal with the fallout later. Because it was, you know, a genuine, I mean, that from the World Cup final as well. Mm. Okay, never actually worn, but, you know, it was pristine as well. And those things, that's the only one of its kind I've ever seen for sale.
That's something that I spoke to Shaky about. Given the choice of a shirt that was in the perfect match condition or a shirt that was worn in a match, I would probably go with the perfect one, the one that hadn't been sullied by having a footballer in it. I would always prioritise the design over the event, I would have thought, unless the number was really like a really horrible number. Like a 13. I don't think I'd want a shirt with 13 on the back. But say that one from the Linfield game, the number 10 shirt, that's fantastic. So what that they didn't wear it against Linfield? That's Maradona's shirt. And it's even better that it hasn't been worn by a player. But that one is added to by the fact that if it had been worn by a player, it would have been worn by the best player in the world. But it wasn't, and so it's in perfect condition, you would hope.
You'd hope. See, I think in that case, it would obviously, depending on which, you know, if it was a match issue shirt that hadn't been worn and it was Maradona's match issue shirt, then yeah, I'd rather have that. But if it was just two random players, then I'd rather have one that was actually worn in the match, unless it was in an appalling condition. If one was pristine and not worn and the other was, you know, in a crappy condition but had been worn, and they were both the same price, then I would probably go for the pristine one. Unless it was in a bad shape because of the match. So for instance, in I think it was the 86 World Cup, Maradona was wearing a shirt and one of the guy, it was an Italian defender, pulled his shirt and it ended up with holes in it. Now, if there was that exact shirt with those holes in it, then I would rather have that.
See, I would have had you down as a contrast to Shaky, but that's very similar to what Shaky would say, really, because it is about grabbing hold of a moment in time, a moment in football history, and that's quite important to you. So I wouldn't have.
But at the same time, if there was one, if the match worn one was twice the price as the other one, and they were both the same condition, and one was match worn and it was twice the price, then the match issue shirt, I'd just go for the match issue one.
Okay.
The match worn shirt that I have got technically wasn't match worn. It was worn by a sub on the bench, but it's in terrible condition because it's got ink stains all over it. But it's the only one I can actually afford. So it's like I'll have to take what I can afford, really.
Yeah. So you were interested in shirts for lots of different reasons, which is probably. It's a broader look at things than Shaky. I think Shaky would maybe be still interested in shirts from his childhood and getting those designs and probably in the match version or the player issue version, but because of the design. But I think more recently, it's probably the matches with a little bit of the design thrown in. But you like everything. So you are a more general shirt collector and kit geek in the so if a shirt is released that is an interesting design, you'll want that, but you won't know anything about the games that involve that shirt.
I'm not that fussed. If I just see a shirt and I love the design, it's generally the more insane the better. For instance, I mean, this is the thing, a lot of kit collectors, like you said earlier, very snobby about limited edition shirts, and the concept of limited edition shirts. and also the whole kind of, you know, ridiculous shirts like the broccoli shirt and things like that. I, on the other hand, absolutely love that shit.
Mm. So I, so what the shirts I'm thinking of, the broccoli one, what do you know what team that is?
La Jolla Loca.
La Jolla Loca. And have you got the, I think it's a Galician team, isn't it, who had the beer? Have you got that
one? No, I didn't have that. Well, the funny thing is, again, the reason I didn't buy that is because they weren't actually match shirts. They were training shirts. This is what nobody said at the time. So they weren't actually match shirts from what I read at the time. They were literally just training shirts. And I think maybe the goalkeeper one, which I think had the octopus on it, was a goalie shirt, which, again, for some reason, I'm not that fussed about. But yeah, I don't think they actually wore them in matches. But that, all that detail got missed. In the same way that the SK brand shirts, which were touted very much as being made of latex, are not made of latex. I have both the home and away of that, and they're not. They have a slightly rubbery coating on them to try and keep out the rain, but they are not made entirely of latex.
Okay.
That's the thing. So they were massively reported, oh, these latex shirts and all, aren't the players going to sweat in them? And it's like, well, no, because they're not. They're just a normal shirt with a very, very thin sort of almost waterproof type coating on. It's no worse than wearing a cagoule in the rain or something.
Mm. Football playing gimps the world over will be disappointed to hear that, though, won't they?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I was slightly disappointed because I had a dirty weekend planned with them.
There was actually a Marseille shirt from a few years ago that had a similar sort of sheen to it, to that, like a rubbery sheen on the outside.
Yes, I think I know which one you mean. Wow, I'm trying to think which one it was. They had a denim one as well.
Yeah, I've got that one, I think. Yeah, I do my own little bit of collecting here and there.
Yeah, any Marseille, though.
No, I've got lots of shirts by different teams. So I've got Barcelona shirts, I've got... various. So there's no stockist either that you would not go to. So say if Sports Direct have anything. Let's talk about your principles again. Sports Direct had something on a sale on, and you saw some shirts in there that you like the look of. You'd buy for them as well.
I would hand over my cash right there and then. I don't care. Why should I care? You know, I want the shirt. That's all I care about.
So does that? You seem to be accumulating shirts. Do you trade a lot in shirts as well, or is that not really something, a world that you're involved with?
I don't really trade in them, because most of the ones that I buy, I tend to have bought, apart from, I mean, the thing is, the ones that I've bought which have got any real value to them, I generally want to keep. The ones that don't have a huge amount of value to them are ones that I've just sort of bought because I quite like the design, and therefore couldn't really sell them for much, especially with classic football shirts existing, because a lot of the ones I bought from there, and you can still buy them from there, and you can buy them quite cheaply. So it's like, a lot of the shirts just aren't worth the hassle of selling. I do actually want to try and reduce my collection, though, because I just have too many. So I did actually go through my kit books that I'd done, and sort of almost with a mental red pen marking which ones can go. So if anyone wants to buy any, I mean, I've actually been trying to sell that blooming Netherlands 88 supposed third or away shirt on eBay for ages, and nobody wants to buy it. So
yeah, this is the thing where it strays into fantasy. So there must be occasions, and you're a good example of someone who would slip into this. If I ask Shaky this question, Shaky would probably say, no, I don't get anything wrong. So Shaky would make sure and be 100% happy in his own mind. No, sorry, not 100% happy. He would be objectively happy that every shirt he bought was genuine, and it had the provenance was correct, and what the shirt he... when he was buying a shirt, what he was buying it as is actually what it is. Do you care so much about that, do you think? Or are you willing to believe a story a little bit more than some collectors?
No, I'm pretty much the same. I bought that pretty much knowing that it probably wasn't actually real, or at least what it claimed to be, because I know of no existence of that shirt whatsoever. But I really wanted it because I liked the actual shirt itself. So and I was happy to own it. Hence why when I was selling it, I have actually put on there that, you know, it's listed as a second, or well, I think I originally listed it as a third shirt, because I said, and in my listing I put, as far as I know, they never wore this shirt. I don't even know if they ever had one. But it was sold to me as a third shirt, and therefore I am listing it exactly the same. But I'm at least putting the disclaimer on that, you know, it, well, it's up to you, basically, as, you know, caveat emptor, I suppose. It's like, I'm not hiding the fact, I'm not trying to pass it off as a third shirt, because I know that, as far as I know, they didn't have one. But I also don't know that they didn't have one, because they never wore an away shirt in that tournament. So we never actually got to see it. So it could be real. I don't think it is. I don't think they actually had an away shirt like that, because they traditionally had a white away shirt at the time, and did straight after the tournament and did before the tournament. You know, admittedly, they only had that 88 style shirt at that tournament, and not before and not after. So they could have done, but there's no evidence for it existing whatsoever. So I will not say to people, this is an away shirt, or this is a third shirt, because I have no proof of that. So I would never sell something by, you know, sort of saying that. For instance, I've got I think it's the Lazio one that was released a couple of years ago. The one with the sort of eagle.
Big eagle.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty convinced that the one I've got is not a genuine shirt, because there are several details on it which don't look right to me. And if I was selling it, I would list it as, you know, in effect sold as seen. It's like, I'm not entirely sure this is genuine. However, it's identical, apart from a couple of tiny things. And the majority of people buying it wouldn't care, because as far as they're concerned, I mean, the thing is, I could easily sell that as genuine, because unless an absolute kit nerd like myself is looking at it, they wouldn't know, and they would buy it, and they would believe for the rest of their life that it was genuine.
Yeah, but you still bought that Netherlands shirt.
So I did, but that's because I like the design of it.
You like the design when it's got the KNVB crest on it as well, though.
Yeah.
That is pure fantasy, isn't it? That's either, if you don't believe it, then you're accepting it's pure fantasy.
Yeah.
So the idea is that wouldn't it be great if that had been the away shirt? Or the third shirt.
In effect, yeah. It's literally like, I didn't buy that thinking, oh, great, I've got an away shirt. And then sort of at some point in afterwards going, oh, actually, maybe they never wore one. I knew right from the start that it almost certainly wasn't genuine. And, well, genuine in the sense of what it was claiming to be. But I didn't buy it as that. I didn't buy it thinking it was genuine. I bought it thinking, this is almost certainly not genuine, but I don't care because I really like it.
Hmm. I really like it, and I am... open. I'm open to believe that. Well, maybe if I could fit into it, because it's a great shirt, as you say. If I could fit into it, I would buy it. But
you probably could, because you're skinny.
I'm not skinny. I'm so not skinny. It would be great if I was. But you know, I might lose weight. So you hold on to that one for me.
Well, maybe you should buy it under the fantasy of that you could fit into it.
That is true.
So I might list it next time as definitely an away shirt, and Jay can definitely fit into it. And then if you believe the fantasy as well, then you'll buy it.
But if you're fantasising about me wearing it, you should send it to me for nothing.
I don't think so.
It was worth a try. So we've talked about what are the shirts that you would really like to own. What are the best? What are your favourites? Because you say you have all these shirts, and they're in boxes, they're in bags, and so on. Surely it would be logical to have some on show for a while, and then you put some away, and you get some others out. Are you appreciating these shirts fully?
And this is exactly why I did the book. That was the exact reason I did the book, because I kept getting shirts down from the loft, and then having them hanging up in the bedroom. Much to the annoyance of my wife, you know. To be fair, I can't argue with that one. And then I'd sort of, after about a week, I'd get another couple of shirts down to have a look at those. But the problem is, I wasn't putting the other ones back because I still wanted to look at those. So in the end, I thought, right, this cannot continue. I mean, it might have been me that thought that. It might have been my wife that actually said those words. but no, I just thought I want to be able to look at all my shirts. but I can't physically do that. So that was why I created the book, so that I, at least if I ever did want to look at them, I could pick up the book.
Okay. And do you have favourite shirts? What are your favourite shirts that you own?
My favourites are it's a couple of Argentina ones. Not necessarily the 1990 World Cup one, actually. Probably my favourite Argentine shirt that I've got is actually a shirt they wore prior to the 1990 World Cup. They played three friendlies, and it was just after Adidas had taken over the contract from Le Coq Sportif. And the shirt they came up with was a very wide striped one. And I managed to find off eBay an actual player worn shirt. And it turns out that it's the short sleeve version, and they only wore that in one of the three friendlies. And it also turns out that the actual shirt the player whose shirt it was Claudio Caniggia, and he scored the only goal in that game.
Yeah, and he was a pretty good player all round.
Yes, one of my favourite Argentine.
What? So it's got a number on the back?
Yes.
What number?
14.
Did he come on as a sub, or he just had?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That is good. Okay, I like that one. Any others?
I have another 1986 replica, which is incredibly accurate, but there's a couple of tiny details which prove that it's not a genuine shirt. But it looks really good. The holes on it are really big. Not the right shape, but they're really big. So it looks really good. The badge isn't quite right, but it's the most accurate replica I've got. So that's also a favourite, because it just looks ace. And probably my other favourite one is in 1987, the Football League had their centenary, and there was a World 11 versus Best of the Football League match played at Wembley. And it was the match that Maradona played in, and there was a big hoo-ha before it because Maradona had wanted $100,000 to play in the match. Platini played in it. There was a whole load of other stars in there, and Cyril Regis and Steve Grzybicz. But obviously the shirts were never available as replicas, but I managed to get one off a seller. Now, it's not an actual match worn shirt. It's basically, I think, what was probably the prototype for it, because it's long sleeved and nobody actually wore long sleeves on the day, and it doesn't have the Mercantile Credit Football League badge on the shoulder, but it is identical to it. Now that, I can see that's another one that falls into the how much you want to believe it, because again, there are several details that prove it's not a match-worn shirt, or even probably it might have been a match prepared, although it didn't have the stitching on the shoulder, so it probably wasn't even for the match. But it did come from someone who got it direct from Umbro, if you believe the person selling it. And again, it, to all intents and purposes, it is an exact copy of that shirt, so I have no reason to believe it's not from Umbro and was probably like one of the ones they produced before the match, but obviously never got used.
Okay, the one that you haven't mentioned that I would have thought of is that Bayern Munich shirt with
my name on it.
It literally has your name on it.
Yes,
what happened
does.
There?
Basically Bayern Munich were doing a charity match. It was a proper league match, but it was a German charity called Sporthilfe. Which I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's sport life or something. I don't speak German. So basically anyone who ordered one of the shirts would have their name on the shirt. Now, that's not a case of like having it on the back as a player name. Literally, the front of the shirt had like a triangle on it, and the back of the shirt had a big square panel on it, which were basically all the names of the people who bought one of the shirts. Now, I had to get one, even though I wasn't a particularly great fan of the actual shirt design at all, purely to know that Franck Ribéry, gets my French pronunciation there, Franck Ribéry actually took to the field with my name on the back. Because that is just like kitten of heaven. Because it wasn't, like I say, it wasn't just a case that the replicas would have it. all of the shirts that the players wore would actually have those names on it. So anyone who bought one actually had the Bayern Munich players on the field with my name on there.
I think you'll find what actually happened was there was an issue with the printing, and the players just had name. And but when they sent out the sports ones, obviously they managed to get them printed up correctly with all the supporters' names on it. So it was close. You almost got it, but
shush now, boy.
That has got to be a quest, though, hasn't it? Now to prove it, because you've got the replica version, but that only tells you that your name is on the replica version. You now need to get a match worn shirt from that game, which was probably auctioned off for thousands.
And
get hold of one of those, and then you can prove that Franck actually did have your name on his back.
I'm just going to believe it.
You're just and we've come full circle.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, Rich, that has been fantastic. Thank you for talking to me about your shirt collecting ways. Has this been enjoyable for you?
It has, Phil.
Now, there is actually one more shirt I want to talk to you about, Phil.
Let me guess, is it the France shirt?
It's the France shirt. It's the shirt France wore against Switzerland. And now you've seen the shirt I'm talking about, I'm sure.
I have, yeah. The one that doesn't have the coloured sleeves on it.
Well, it does. It actually
does.
Well,
yeah, sorry. That doesn't have the proper coloured sleeves as it was supposed to be.
Yeah, so this... People who have listened to the last podcast with Colin Ford, in that podcast, Colin mentioned England. The England shirt would have been better instead of having light blue sleeves if it had off-white sleeves. And that's basically what France wore. They wore a white shirt with off-white sleeves. But when you look very, very closely, the sleeves are actually a very, very pale red and blue, like their standard away shirt. And it turns out that the shirt that they wanted to wear actually breaks or contravenes UEFA rulings on UEFA rules on what can be worn in the tournament. So they've had to go with what, on the surface of it, is a plain shirt. Now, that is going to be a sought-after shirt now, surely.
But what I don't get with that is that they would have known that before. Someone surely would have pointed that out before the tournament.
The thing for me is...
They can't have just rocked up at the stadium and some bloke from UEFA walked past and went, hang on a minute, that don't look right to me.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have been able to get those, whatever those replacements are, in time. And they are weird shirts. That's a strange way to replace the shirts. Because that has been, I'm sure, people are saying that they've put them in the wash and dyed, bleached them. And I don't think they've bleached them. I think that is a completely new bespoke
shirt. Well, generally,
shirt.
You can't really bleach polyester that well. No. Doesn't really reduce the colour, it just takes the colour out completely.
Yeah, I think he would have noticed that they would have looked like they were wearing tie-dye shirts or something, I think. Yeah. So I don't think that's happened. They've actually constructed a new shirt. So that, I don't think that happened in the few days before the game. That happened when the shirts were submitted, but yeah, no one's been told about it.
Yeah, which is what's weird about it.
It's weird, but also could be argued that the decision was taken, no, let's not tell anyone that this shirt that we've been marketing for 6 months isn't actually going to be worn in the tournament, because that might
affect sales. They wouldn't buy it, would they? Yeah. Well, they'll probably wear it after the tournament anyway.
They in friendlies, but I don't think...
Right, so they would not be able to wear it in qualification either.
Possibly. UEFA are in control of the qualification for the next World Cup, so I'd imagine the rules would be very, very similar. So that shirt is now an X shirt, I would have thought, for all intents and purposes. And this new thing, which is... on the surface looked great, but if you look up closely, it's absolutely hideous because you have a sort of a creamy blue on one sleeve and a creamy red on the other sleeve, which doesn't look great. So, yeah. But would you want that shirt? This is an interesting thing. That design, do you like the design? And if you don't like the design, would you still try to get one of those shirts?
I'm not massively fussed about the design. I'm not a massive fan of that particular template anyway. However, if I saw one on for sale and it was, you know, not a ridiculous price, which it obviously would be, then yes, I would want to wear one purely for the history of it.
We'll also see if it's worn again. It might well be worn again in the tournament. We'll wait and see.
Well, I mean, as I've pointed out before when I talked about kits, the Coventry wore a replica of the 1987 FA Cup final shirt when they played 25 years later against Southampton in the third round and got whooped 3-0 by Southampton, which kind of ruined the whole thing of the shirt there. But I managed to get a player issue shirt, which, despite already owning 3 copies of that shirt, I still bought purely because it had the sponsor on the front, which the retail versions didn't. That's the only difference. The retail version is identical to the player issue version, apart from the fact the player issue version had the sponsor in it. But I still paid £140. And then the annoying thing was, the following year, they wore it again, completely devaluing it, and we got whooped by Tottenham that year, completely devaluing it further. But I also managed to find a player issue version of that shirt, which was slightly different again, because we had a different sponsor on the back of the shirt. But the weird thing is that the player whose shirt that was supposed to have been, when you look at pictures of the match, he didn't have a sponsor on the front of his shirt. So what's that all about?
These are the trials and tribulations of a football shirt collector, I think.
Indeed. Well, again, that was probably a match-prepared one. But for some reason, when he actually played in the match, he didn't have a sponsor on the front. Did on the back, but didn't on the front. That was Leon Clark, I think.
Interesting.
Weird. Cray-cray.
It is certainly cray-cray.
Totes cray-cray.
Indeed. Rich, this has been wonderful. I've enjoyed it immensely. I know so much more about you as a person, I think, and shirt collecting. So that's been great. Have you enjoyed it?
I have, yes. It's been much fun.
Excellent. So we will talk again. You seem to lend yourself well to this football kit podcast game. You should maybe consider going further with it.
Really, should I? Well, now you mention that, that might well be happening.
Please elaborate.
Well, me and Chris have been talking of late about potentially returning to doing Football Attic podcasts, but not dealing with nostalgia, because we kind of talked about every single possible nostalgia subject there is. But we did enjoy doing the 50 Greatest Football Shirts. I mean, especially the two people we had to work with. That was the best part of it, definitely.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, the most favourable part. So, actually, Chris said that with Euro 2016, it's given them a new love of football kits. And I think he said, because he'd actually been on some other football kit podcast with the guy called Jay, he said he really enjoyed that. So he said that we might actually start, we might come back as a Football Attic podcast, but concerning kits. So that would be probably talk a little bit about modern kits and a little bit about old kits as well.
Okay, interesting. You found a gap in the market there, did you?
Well, there used to be a gap, but someone came along and filled it. But we kind of, you know, we thought we could possibly provide an alternative viewpoint.
Okay, we'll see. Bring it on.
We got beef, man.
We do now have beef. But this has been great. Thank you for coming on, and I do look forward to that podcast should it happen. Rich, how do we get hold of you on social media?
On the social media, I am available on Twitter. You can either get me at sofa_soccer. That's my own personal football-y one. Or you can obviously always find me usually under the Football Attic one, which is just at Football Attic. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/ I think it's The Football Attic on Facebook. And that's it, really. I think, and obviously the blog still exists, even though we don't write any more stuff on it. Thefootballattic.com.
Okay, and on there, can we still get these kit books?
Yes, you can. Yeah, they're still available if you really want one. I think, because I generally use, like, I sort of print them off on individually, using like photo book vouchers and stuff, and I think those vouchers are still around. So if they are, then yes, they're still available.
Okay, excellent. Well, they would be very worthy additions to kit book collections.
I think. Maybe you should buy them at some point, Jay.
Oof! Well, maybe you should send them to me as a thank you for this free advertising for those books.
I'll see what I can do, Jay.
That's put you on the spot. I expect them very soon. Okay, well, this has actually been excellent. If you want to get hold of me, I'm J29ers on Twitter. Design Football is obviously on Twitter, and designfootball.com is on Facebook. There's plenty of competitions, various things going on the website at the minute, so go over there and check that out and sign up if you haven't signed up already. But we will be speaking to someone new soon. It's probably going to be me speaking to them, but if not, then someone standing in for me will be speaking to someone new very soon, and we'll speak to you all again soon. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you again, Rich.
Thank you, goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.